we hear a lot of people talk about the LGBT community. The T in that is transgender. And so a lot of people associate it with the LB and the LG and B, so they think it's a sexual orientation. But in fact, it's not. Being transgender is when an individual has some dissonance between who they are as a in terms of sex versus gender. So in other words, someone who is born anatomically male at some point in time feels that internally, psychologically, they are female. And so there's this kind of incongruence. And so a person many times will try to transition towards, in one way or another, towards that other gender, thus being transgender.
So when was the first Transgender Day of Remembrance, and what's the purpose of it?
I think it was 16 years ago, and it was started because there was a transgender individual by the name of Rita Hester who was murdered, and they started this event to be sure to memorialize all of the transgender individuals who are killed due to anti-transgender violence.
How common are these sorts of crimes against transgender people?
Hate crimes are very high against, and discrimination are very high against, towards transgender individuals. As far as crime in relationship to murders, the number this year I think is around 215, and that is worldwide. There was a situation where a transgender woman in Indianapolis was killed on October 25th. She was 25 years old. So, you know, that's pretty close to home. I think a lot of it's not reported. A lot of the violence isn't reported.
And studies have found that transgender people face other forms of discrimination and are more likely to face drug addiction and attempt suicide. Can you tell us more about that?
Anytime that you have a level of discrimination, it makes just being very difficult. And I think that, you know, particularly from some of the transgender individuals that I have spoken to and things that I have read, I think that even though we have laws against discrimination in the workplace and things like that, there are other ways that people are put into a hostile work environment or into a position where they feel like they cannot sustain day-to-day functioning. So what happens is there's a high unemployment rate among transgender individuals, and then that leads to a lot of the other issues that you described. Depression that leads to suicide. Sometimes you see risky sexual behavior that might lead to a higher infection of HIV and AIDS. So they're all really kind of a result of the initial discrimination.
And discrimination includes workplace discrimination, housing, that sort of thing?
Yeah.
Tell us about the event that the Phoenix Center in Springfield will be hosting.
This Thursday, we are having a Transgender Day of Remembrance. It's actually Transgender Day of Remembrance worldwide. We're having an event at the center where we're just going to make sure that our community is aware that the Phoenix Center is supportive of the transgender community and that we want to make mention of those who have lost their lives. Starting at 6 o'clock, we're going to have just a brief welcome, and then we have a few folks that are going to be speaking. We have a young transgender male who is going to be talking about the importance of support. He's in our LGBT youth group. Then we're going to have a young man who is a counselor in one of the area schools talk about dealing with transgender issues. And then Carrie Porner from here at UIS is going to talk about the university and the role that they play in relationship to training and transgender issues at the school. And then that will be followed by two local transgender individuals who will be reading the names of the transgender individuals who have died.
What do you hope to accomplish with this event, and who do you think should attend?
What we want to accomplish is just awareness. Awareness of the fact that transgender individuals, like everyone else in our community, deserve our support, and that we want to make sure that our community is aware of this issue in terms of the violence towards transgender individuals. We want transgender individuals to know and to feel welcome to come to the Phoenix Center for Services and know that we are supportive and that that's what we are here for. As far as who can come or who should come, anyone who is interested, anybody who's interested in learning more, anybody who has a transgender child, relative, friend, any transgender individuals who would like to come and learn more about the agency. Also on that night, we're going to be announcing that we are going to be starting a transgender support group at the Phoenix Center, and that will be on the third Thursday of every month from 6:30 to 8:30, and it's actually going to be ran by a transgender individual. So, you know, getting the word out that we are supportive and that we are going to provide the service. So really anyone and everyone is welcome.
And so when will that group start?
That group will actually start next month in December.
You mentioned earlier when we spoke that here in Central Illinois, there are limited resources to help transgender people and that you get calls mm-hmm. asking about it. What do you think needs to be done in the area to form a more supportive network for transgender people?
Well, I certainly think this support group is a good beginning because you get a bunch of folks together, regardless of what the issue is, that have something in common, and you can all learn from each other. So they may learn about other services and medical providers and all sorts of things like that. And at the same time, we as an agency are hoping to learn from the folks that are attending the group so that we can then maybe put on our website referral sources for transgender folks. You know, there are a few doctors here in town that will that work with transgender individuals in terms of hormone replacement or other things that they are looking to find, but it's very limited. Some folks go to Chicago, some folks go to St. Louis. So we're just really hoping to garner some additional resources and then provide a level of support, which I think is something that is very lacking and very much needed.
And you talk about the medical need there and the hormone replacements. Can you explain that a little bit for people? Because I think that might mm-hmm. not everybody knows.
Well, the way I look at it, and I'm not a transgender individual, but just from what I've learned in talking to folks who are, really there's kind of a continuum. People who identify as transgender may choose to present as the gender that they feel that they are. So let's say that you have a person who is anatomically female and who feels that they are truly a male, then they may start dressing more masculine and that will progress through possibly legally changing name, legally changing their sex. That could be hormones. It could be removal of facial hair. It could be breast implants or, you know, other types of augmentation or other surgeries. And then at the opposite end then would be having sex reassignment surgery, which is very costly. And it isn't, it isn't something that everyone does or everyone even wants to do. I think the most important thing to recognize is that, you know, transgender individuals are looking to live a life where they are supported and they're comfortable and they can be authentic. And I think that it isn't about their sexual orientation. It isn't about, you know, having surgeries or proving something to someone. It's about being comfortable in who they are.
All right. Donna Cooley with the Phoenix Center here in Springfield. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.